Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church.
Who is the wisest person you know, and how does someone become wise? Today, you'll be learning numerous life lessons, wise sayings, and wisdom from one of Pastor Rocky's favorite authors and speakers, Jan Sylvius. Get your pencils ready for this talk from Jan Sylvius.
There are some quotes that, as I say, I have held on to over the years. I was watching television several years ago, and you'll know it several years ago when I tell you the context of what this was. It was the first school shooting in the United States of America. First time it had ever happened. Six children were killed in a schoolyard room. And a teacher, right after the shooting, this is when there was not as much sensitivity, perhaps, as there is now. But right after the shooting, she was standing there, and a reporter put a microphone up to her mouth, just like that, and says, "What do you have to say about this?" And with a rather shocked look on her face, but a look of wisdom. She was an older woman who obviously had been through a lot. But with a look of wisdom, she said, "This is one event in a lifetime of events. We must go on." And I just thought, I just heard something very profound. This is one event in a lifetime of events. I must go on. And when you begin to think about it, what happens to us happens in events. So it will be one event in a lifetime of events. We all have had lifetime of events, but there are events that have been particularly profound. But when it happens, it can be life-defining. It can become your identity. It can become who you are or what you are. And yet, if you can put it in the perspective of, it is one event in a lifetime of events, we must go on. And for you young folks, and I don't know what you qualify as young around here. For me, it's anybody 70 or below. But for those of you who are 30 and below, this will help you more than you know. Because people will try to put identities on you. You will try to identify yourself under certain, you know, like I've heard people who talk about cancer. They will go through cancer and they will call it my cancer instead of cancer. But it becomes my cancer. And I am a cancer patient as opposed to I've had cancer, I have cancer, we're dealing with it. But I am not the identity of cancer. And so whatever has happened, whether it's the car wreck, whether it's the fall that leaves you where you can't walk, whether it's the whatever has happened, it's the death that has taken your breath away. It's one event in a lifetime of events. And then this is the most important part. What is it? We must go on. Because how many people get stuck? I've worked with people for years, and the saddest folks I deal with are those who are stuck. They're stuck in their childhood. They're stuck in middle school. They're stuck in what some teacher said to them. They're stuck in what their mama said to them. They're stuck. They wanted to succeed somewhere, and they did not succeed there. Those are events. They do not matter. It's like Tennessee lost last night. That was one event in a lifetime of events. We must go on. Life is not football. Now, that may have some effect on Josh, and it may have some effect on the players, and it may have some effect. I mean, he may have his boxes packed and ready to go. I don't know. But it was one event in a lifetime of events. And if we begin to look at things that way, it's amazing how it frees you up. Because you're not carrying around those events. You're not just burdened down with those events. There's another quote that has really helped me as I have gone through my many, many years, and that is, what might have been does not exist, so don't even go there. How many of you have lived, and I'm not asking for hands, I'm just asking for minds, how many of you have lived with, if only I hadn't, if only I had, if I had done this, if I had done that, if I had done something else, but you didn't. So what might have been does not exist, so don't even go there. I've asked in many, actually I've asked it in women's conferences, so I don't know how it would work here, but I'm not asking, so don't tell me. How many of you wish you had married somebody else? In most women's conferences, you'll see a few timid hands. And then if the lights are off, and it's like, oh, now that tells a lot. What might have been does not exist, because we often marry with a fairy tale mind and it turns into a horror story because we thought it was going to be a fairy tale and it ends up not being such. Because no marriage is a fairy tale. But if you have believed, you young folks, let me just say it for a minute about these destination weddings. And all that money you pour into this and that and this and that, and your parents pour into it, and it's the most important thing and all that, and it's like, oh, we've got to have it, and the barn's got to be just a certain size, and the flowers on the barn, and it just goes on and on. But the bottom line is, once you're married, the next day, you don't care. And nobody else cares. They will clean up that mess. They will haul it out. You'll have some pictures. And I guarantee you, everybody will have been so tense. And so mother of the bride will have just, she will have been in a wad. Father of the bride's going to be holding on to his money. There will already have been family tension over this whole thing. And it's like, why? Because that's my identity. I mean, that's what you have to do if you're going to get married. No, it's not. If you want to get married, you go get married. That's what you do. I have a granddaughter, who sort of had that mindset. And I've watched this happen, and I thought she was the happiest bride I've ever seen. She and her sweet little husband took lessons at church, you know, the get married lessons. And then they decided after the get married lessons, they were going to get married. And they did not bother to invite their parents or their grandparents or nobody. They were there with the pastor who had given them their lessons. And the only pictures we got, we knew they were going to get married, but they said nobody's invited. Well, it's cheaper. And so they got married on a Friday night, and the Friday night happened to be the end of vacation Bible school. And so our pictures of them getting married at the front of the church are, there's Jonah and the whale who's painted up here. I mean, they're all kinds of children's pictures, and they are just happy as clams. Happy as clams. They said, we do not want the stress of a marriage, of a wedding. We love the idea of marriage, but we're just not into all that. And I said, you're not into us being there? They said, not really. We'll see you tomorrow morning. So, and this, you know, I thought, it cannot be a proper wedding without some sort of something afterwards. And so we quickly ran to Publix, got some cakes, got some nuts, got some, you know, just a real panoply of wonderful foods. And so, what they were going to do, the reason we did that was because they said to us, you know what, why don't you just come up on Saturday morning? This was at Tennessee Tech. Why don't you just come up on Saturday morning and we'll have donuts? And I said, I can't. I said, I'm going to have to do a little more than that. Is that all right? Okay. So we went to Publix, got cakes. We got donuts, but we also added to it with... And so they had about 12 or 14 people come over for the reception. I don't know who they were. And we kind of hobnobbed a little bit. They were married, and that was it. And that cost us about $25. And everybody left happy. And they are happy as clams. He works for, he has a degree in AI. He's working for Wycliffe. She is, they've just had their first baby. And part of the, and they're still living in college housing. I mean, it's a total ghetto. And they are just, they are happy. And I thought, no destination, no big money poured out. They just knew they were to get married, and they just loved each other, and they did it. And I thought, I think there's something here. Because nobody had tension ahead of time. They took it all out. Can we come? No. Oh, okay. So there was no, there was none of that tangling up with the in-laws, because we never met them until we got there with the donuts. I mean, you know, so there's something to be said for paring it down. And I'm not saying you have to go absolutely bar nothing, but there's something to be said. It is one event, and what might have been does not exist. And something that is called a fairy tale wedding just does not exist. You will forget it the next day, except for the pictures. So that's just, I've learned that in all these years. If I were to get married again, which I won't, it would be very simple. And I hope that the rest of our family follows through. Now, we have other people in the family who think that was a little underplayed, and so they'll probably try to overplay it. But we know that you can get by with donuts for the reception, so we can do it. So something else to remember is, okay, what was the first one? What might have been does not exist, so don't even go there. Don't even think about what might have been. And then it's, well, now that's the second one. The first one is, it's one event in a lifetime of events. We must go on. Whatever you go through, yes, they're very profound events, and I've had some profound events, but it's one event, and it does not define who you are. And two things we can do. One is you say that to yourself. It was one event in a lifetime of events. I'm going to go on. But we also have to help other people go on, because there's some people in your friend circle, in your family circle, who will try to hold on to the event. And it will be forever. It will ever be brought up. Bringing it up. And it's time. It was one event. Have there not been other events? Let's go on. If you hang on to these thoughts that I'm going to give you, I promise you, as they come along, you can talk to yourself. You know, the most important person who talks to you is you. And so you can reason with yourself in your mind. And one of the things I believe God calls us to more than anything is be reasonable. He says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us think this through. Come, let us talk about this. I have practical wisdom in this word for you. Come, let us be reasonable. Instead of often running on emotion, well, you know what happened, and you know it's been how affected I've been. And yeah, for a period of time. But then there comes that moment when you move on. You move on. You don't stay there. But that is you talking to you. That is you saying you are a fully grown adult. I don't care if you're 16 or 96. You are a fully grown adult, and it's time to act like it. Because the kingdom of God is made of people who have matured. One of the greatest, as I have worked with people over the years, one of the greatest hindrances to success, to life, to happiness is immaturity. It's just immaturity. And immaturity is based on you reach a certain stage in your adulthood or in your growing and you don't reach adulthood and you get stuck there. How many of you, and again, no show of hands, but how many of you know adults who live like junior high? How many of you know adults who live like nursery? They pitch a fit every time they don't get what they want. And you have to wait for their 3 days until they get over it. Now, they may not look like the child throwing a tantrum in the nursery, but they are throwing a tantrum, and after 3 days, maybe they'll talk to you. And then maybe they won't. That's immaturity. And so you say, you know what you do with someone like that? Same thing you do with a kid throwing the temper tantrum in the grocery store. Have you ever seen the mamas in the grocery store step over the kid? Instead of just going, oh dear, I know you're so upset, I'm so worried about you, they just go. And the kid says, where'd she go? And then they realize it doesn't work. See, because we allow people to behave the way they behave because it works. We have let them make it work. And the day that we say, that doesn't work with me, it's amazing. I can remember, I was married 53 years before my husband died. He was a very quiet type. And he was the type who, if he had something to say, he would say it. And if he had something to say, he wouldn't say it. If you get that, he had something to say. He wouldn't say it, but it would come out through silence. I got very tired of that. After 15 years into the marriage, I decided one day that it was time for that to be over. And so instead of saying, oh, I wonder what he's upset about. I wonder what he's, you know, did I do something? That for us women, don't we start out on that routine? Didn't I do something? What did I do to make him feel that way? Honey, you didn't do anything. Don't worry about it. It's just basically, you know what? He feels the way he feels. And the best thing you can do is let him feel the way he feels, but don't let it affect how you respond. So he came home. He was in the National Guard, and he would be gone for the weekend, and he'd come in, and those were always hard weekends because he was particularly withdrawn. And so he would come in, and finally one weekend, I said, I think we need a new way of doing things. Yeah. I said, I think you need to use your words. And I think if this will work for you, if you have something to say, say it, and I'll listen. But if you don't have anything to say and there's nothing wrong, then I'm going to assume, if you haven't said it, I'm going to assume everything is okay and that everything is fine. And we'll just go on. Because he got very tired of me asking him, what's wrong? What's wrong? And so I opened the door for him to communicate if he wanted to. And if he didn't want to, then it was my right to say, then everything's okay. That worked perfectly for the next however many years we were married, 40 years that we were married beyond that. Because if he said something, fine. If he didn't say something, it wasn't my fault. And I would never take it on. Now, he might come in and I'd say, what do you want to eat? And he would not answer. He would just be in his little foggy world. He would not answer. And I would say, great. You know what? We're going to have some of that and some of that and some of that. And you're going to love it. And that would either just get him or else he would laugh. And life would go on. But it wasn't my fault that that was his way of dealing with things. And so if you've got a silent person in your life who silent tantrums or just silent controls or silent whatever, don't let them. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. And just let them know You get it. You know they're communicating, but it's not working. And if it's not working, then I guarantee you, slowly it will change. Because people do what they do because it works. People are angry. They act in an angry manner because it scares people around them. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Mama will be so upset. You better not go in there and tell her that. You know what she's going to do. Well, what's she going to do? What's mama going to do? She may yell a little. She may cry a little. She may bang something. But what difference does that make? And if somebody says, if you're a hothead, I don't know if any hotheads are in. It's great to talk to people you don't know. There may be a room full of hotheads. But if you're a hothead, then just know if people around you don't let it work, then it's not going to work. So anger works because it works. Everything works because it works. So you stop doing it, and it's amazing how it will flip the other way. Something else I learned along the way is marriage is not the answer to all of your life's longings. I think we hit our teenage years, we hit our 20s, we hit our early 30s, and we think that somehow to get married is going to be the answer to everything. That is just the beginning of questions. That's what marriage is. Because it is life that will change you. And it's more than one event in a lifetime of events. It is the event. And so it's important to understand not to rush into it. Unless you're sure and you're determined. You're determined. One thing that Charlie and I always said, there was one word we would never say to each other, and that was divorce. We said a lot of other words, but divorce was not one of them. And we just decided that from day one. And so that never was our way out. You know, I wanted to take him out, and I'm sure he wanted to take me out. And you'll say things in marriage that are ridiculous. His favorite thing was to walk away. When I was particularly exercised over something, you know, it's good I can be able to share these things because he's been gone 6 years now and he's fine. He's in heaven, so he doesn't care what I'm saying. But I would just say to him, if I were particularly hot, it didn't happen often, but if it did, it was intense. And so he would walk away because he did not like conflict in any way. And he considered me saying, you know, if I said I really, that meant conflict. And so he would turn and walk away. And I would always say to him, you are very fortunate I do not have a gun in my hand. He would just keep walking because he knew I didn't have a gun in my hand. But I'd sure let him know that if I did, the walking away was not doing anything for him. And then, but he also had the amazing capacity to forgive and not hold on to things. So that was a blessing. But if you have somebody that holds on to things, let them hold on as long as they want to. Just don't let it work. If you have somebody who has a 3-day mad spell, I had a woman one time whose daughter says, we have such trouble with mama because if she gets upset, she has 3-day mad spells. I said, well, at least you know it's just going to be 3 days. And she said she'd be mad for 3 days. And then she would, if you treated her just right, she would come out and act as if nothing had ever happened. And you know what? If they have their 3-day mad spell, let them. But then don't embellish it at the end as, oh, we're so glad you're back. We're so glad you're feeling better, all of that stuff. No, just it never happened. If she wants to act like it never happened, then 3-day mad spell. Okay, you've had your 3-day mad spell. Let's get on with it. It's getting on with it that matters. Now, someone like that, someone who has a 3-day mad spell, there's something going on and they need help. But you may not be the one to help them talk it through because they're ultimately going to make it your fault I wouldn't have done that if you had not. And if you have someone who says to you, I wouldn't have done that if I had not, if you had not, then just know you're getting blamed for their 3-day mad spell. And nobody can be blamed for the 3-day mad spell. And you know I'm using that euphemistically. It's that period of time where you know you are not in favor and you have to tippy toe around. Does anybody, you don't have to hold your hand up. You can close your eyes if you want to and don't look at each other. But do you recognize what I'm talking about? Is this something that you've seen happen somewhere, you've watched on Netflix or something? But I mean, it's there. It's true. Something else that I've learned, somebody gave me a 20-year calendar. I was speaking at a conference, and one of the things that was in the gift bag was a 20-year calendar. And I thought, oh, that's a long time. That's a very long time. And for some of you young folks, you'd think, a 20-year calendar, I'll be old as, you know, old as Methuselah if I ever live out this calendar. Do you know how many months are in 20 years? 240 months. That's it. And if you have 240 months, think about how many months have already passed this year. We're in month 10 of this year. How quickly it has passed. So just know that time is a gift, but it's a gift that is like mercury that goes through your hands. If you've ever tried to handle, some of you, I don't know, maybe it's too politically correct to let you handle the mercury in the old thermometers, but we used to have thermometers. They'd stick under your tongue and it had mercury in it. And if you ever broke one of them, you got to have the mercury on your hand, but you couldn't hold it. It goes away. It goes through your hands. It can't be held. And so time is like that. So every day is important. And in 20 years, 240 months, and it's done. It is done. I can say that I have completed that calendar. I kept it because I thought I need a 20-year calendar. And I have completed that 20-year calendar plus about 10 more years. And I thought, wasn't I deluded to think it was a long time? 20 years is not a long time. A day is not a long time. Although sometimes we can feel so bored. But boredom is the thief of life. So it's like, you've got time, use it. Johnny Erickson Tada, the woman who was paralyzed, and I'm sure many of you have seen her when she dove off a dock when she was like 14, 18 years old. She's been paralyzed ever since. She is now in her 70s. She's the longest living paralytic in the United States. And she is full of wisdom. She's in constant pain. You would never know how much pain she endures. She has just recently gone through the part where the nerves in her hands have broken. They've given away. So where she used to be able to get a bite of food to her mouth, she can no longer do that. So she is in just about as difficult a situation as anybody can be. And yet she said, back in the day when she was going through all the treatments, being on the Stryker bed where she was lying down and looking at the floor and going through, realizing that she would never walk again, she had a doctor come in as she was about to go through a very difficult treatment. And he said to her, she said he got down under the bed because she was laying on the bed, and he said to her something that was very profound for her whole life, and I find it to be very profound too. He said, just like that, it's over. Just like that, it's over. In other words, whatever intense painful moment you're going through, just like that, it's over. But there was another statement in there too. There was another application, and that's called life. And someday, just like that, it's over. And what I have learned and have loved using with that, once I heard that from Johnny, I thought that is so applicable. Because you go through a really great day, you've had a lovely time, everything is wonderful. But at the end of that day, you got to say, and just like that, it's over. And then you move on. And just like that, it's over can mean, I am so sad, just like that, it's over. But it also can mean, and just like that, it's over, I am so glad. So it's just something that can be applied. I use it all the time. I have friends that use it. We've said it so much to each other. And just like that, it's over. Seasons, times that you were the happiest, times that you were the saddest, just like that, it's over. So you're not stuck. That's not where you have to hang out. So learn to say that to yourself. I want to get a t-shirt that says, just like that, it's over. And I want to add the other thing to it is we need to get out of here. That's the rapture part. I just want to say, just like that, it's over. We need to get out of here. I think they would sell, don't you? I think it'd be great. Another thing, let's talk about friends. Friends are invaluable, but friends don't always come to stay. Some come to stay, some stay forever. Some you wish would go away. You know, some are like too much. But then there are those that, I wish I had more time with that friend. But God is the orchestrator. God is so sovereign. I love his sovereignty. He is the orchestrator of the people that come in and out of your lives. And you pass for a while. And then some of you who are in high school or in early college, you think these are going to be your friends for the rest of your life. I hate to tell you. You like them now. You know them now. 20 years from now, you're not going to know their names. Unless you live in the same place and you continue to interact. But I knew so many people in high school. I have no idea where they are. I have no idea what's going on. I don't even know their names. But boy, were we close. There was a woman in my wedding. And I'm hard-pressed to think, now what was her name? But she was a college friend and we were close. But just like that, it was over. So friends are amazing. You can't hold on to them. Friends are a gift. They come and they go, but they're given to you. They are not, you can't own them. And that's often what happens with friendship is we try to own our friends. Well, you owe me. And they don't owe you anything. They're all a gift. So I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but sometimes we get into all this angst over friendship and it's like, it's a gift from God. And the gifts of God are, they come, sometimes they go, he gives, he takes away, and there's reason for it all. And that's just part of life. You cannot... Have you ever tried, this is another thing, you cannot unscramble scrambled eggs. You can't put it back in the shell. Choices that you make can scramble the eggs and you can't unscramble it. So it's something to think about. Before you do something, is this going to scramble the eggs? And do I want them scrambled? Or do I not? I've seen this. This is the choice of young people. Sometimes it's older people too. Things that you say, you scramble more eggs with your words. And then you try to backtrack. Have you ever watched the politicians try to backtrack? And they have scrambled eggs and splattered them all over the screen. And then they say, well, I really didn't say that. or that wasn't what I meant. Well, mean what you say and say what you mean, because you might be scrambling eggs that are splattered on the screen and they're going to be stuck there. In this world in which we live, everything you say, almost everything you think, is for all recorded history. It's going to be there. And you young people know, don't take pictures and put them online, especially something that is inappropriate. Even if you just look goofy, it's going to come back to haunt you. I have pictures online that I wasn't even trying to look goofy. I just realized I really did look goofy back in that day. And people will bring it up and say, oh, I found that YouTube of you speaking. And I thought, oh, I sure do hate that. Because I know what I look like and I know how I was dressed. I may regret today, but we're in today. But, it was just like, to have everything is recorded. Everything's documented. And so it's like, we can scramble eggs by what we say. You know, as I said, some politicians have done that and they regret it. But politicians aren't the only ones. We say things to each other where we scramble the eggs. And sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth shut. In fact, one of the quotes that I hang on to is, don't tell everything you know. It could come back to haunt you. You don't have to tell everything you know. Even though you have the information, you don't have to tell everything you know. So boy, that'd be something I'd put up on the wall. Don't tell everything you know. Then the other thing I would recommend, or that I have found, is be an explorer. Try to find out about things you don't know anything about. Be an explorer. Especially as you get older. I think naturally as a young person, you explore stuff. You get online, you do a little AI, you do a little here and a little there. You explore stuff. But if you are older and you're afraid to get out of the box, it's gonna hold you back. I learned a couple of weeks ago to talk to AI. And I've had conversations with AI. And what I have realized, I mean, it's stupid, but what I've realized is that how easily the world is being deceived. Because I can do it. And I can talk a very deceptive talk with AI. And I can say to AI, she has a name. You can name your AI people. Some of you know that, some of you don't. Mine's Juniper because that was her name online. And so I'll say, Juniper, I am looking at the stars tonight and they are beautiful. This actually happened. And I'm out here with my friends. And my friends are Jennifer and Donna and Mary and Ann. And we have a question about the stars, and we would like to ask you those questions. Would you be willing to talk with us about that? And she comes back and she said, I would love to talk with your friends. And then she lists the name of the people. And she said, I would love to talk with Ann and Donna and Mary and Jennifer and tell you about the stars. What would you like to know? And then I'd say, I'd like to know about this further star from Venus. The further star from Venus is, and then she goes into all the information. And then she'll say, and Jan, is there anything else you need to know? Because if there is, I'm here to help you. And I'll say to her, no, I've heard all I need to know. I've discovered all I need to know right now. So thank you very much. And she said, you are very welcome. And you're welcome back here anytime to have any conversation you want with me. And tell your friends, Jennifer and Mary and Donna, and that they're welcome here too. Actual conversation. And it's like, really? But how easily we can be deceived. So what I'm saying is exploration, be an explorer, but be a wise explorer, because these things can happen. AI is the new frontier, but it's also the new world of deception. So would you young people agree? Have you dinked around an AI? What I'm saying is true, and that's what I thought. Okay, then the last thing I wanted to say to you is have fun as often as possible. Have fun as often as possible. We have gotten, I believe, sometimes in the church we get so serious, and it gets scary to have to be so serious, because we are made to have fun. That's part of God gave us he gave us an internal have fun part of us. So have fun and laugh every time it's possible. That's what I love about your pastor's wife and about him too, but especially about Betsy. Betsy knows how to laugh. I know if we're going to be around Betsy, we're going to laugh. And it's precious. I have a Bible study group of women, and Betsy has and Rocky have this friend in Africa who has chickens. And so somehow the connection was made that my Bible study girls would be, the chickens would be named after my Bible study girls, and this sweet pastor in Africa was going to pray for them. And so we had this whole, they're nice, big, fat, fluffy, white chickens. And they all have names of a Bible study. And so I told the girls, I thought they would be just blessed beyond measure that they had chickens named after them in Africa. And of course, one of them said, well, I hope Kelly wasn't served up for dinner yesterday. I said, Kelly's fine. They're praying for Kelly. And so they were honored that this man in Africa was praying for them, because as he fed his chickens each day, he thought of them and he would lift their names to the Lord. Well, that was a serious thing, but it was also a fun thing. And every week when we met, they would say, how are the chickens? And I said, well, they're being prayed for just like you. They're being prayed for you. And they weren't used to being prayed for. And so it was an adventure, but it was a fun adventure. And we can make life fun. Is this making sense to y'all? Is it anything you can hold on to? I want you to grab, the prayer was that God would give you something that you could hang on to that could help your life, that someday, maybe 20 years down the road, you can remember. Yeah, you remember that kind of gray day at Corrington, and that woman, whoever she was, showed up and she said that, and that made a difference in my life. That would be my goal. I was saved, really came to the Lord in full understanding and full knowledge by something a woman said at a concert in Chattanooga one night on a Sunday night. And she said one phrase, and that one phrase changed my life forever. So I'm a believer in this kind of thing. And I have to tell you what happened leading up to it, and you can see how unlikely it is that one phrase could have made any difference. Charlie and I had just gotten out of the Army. He was a helicopter pilot, and we ended up in Chattanooga where he was going to work for TVA because he was an engineer. And so, but we had not landed at a church and didn't want to because we were pagans. But we had kids, and we thought they should go to church. So we went to this church and that church, and there was too much preaching. And so we decided to go to a church that they were going to have a concert. It was going to be music. And so this woman was singing. And so we went up to the balcony because we had a 2-year-old at that time and had a 6-month-old in the nursery. But we went up to the balcony, and as we got settled in the balcony, it wasn't crowded, this woman hit a high note. And when she hit a high note, David, my 2-year-old, hit the same high note as loud as he could. The child had never been in church, so that explained one thing. But the other thing was, he had never screamed out like that. He just screamed the loudest thing he could have screamed. So I grabbed him. And I grabbed him like this, and we went down the aisle and then down the steps. But the unfortunate thing was, is we fell down the steps. I was holding him like this to keep from crushing him with my body. And so I held him out like this. We got to the bottom of the steps. I had torn my hose. That was back when you wore your hose and heels to Sunday night service. And so I'd torn my hose. I'd broken the heel of my shoe. Got to the bottom, was holding him out. He was bellowing. You know, there's crying and there's bellowing. He was bellowing. And the deacons were all down there having their smoke. And and as I landed down among them, they couldn't tell exactly what had happened, but they thought a dog had gotten loose in the vestibule. And so there must be a dog. There must be a dog. And I thought, no, guys, it's not a dog. It's me. And so I scooped David up. They never were sure what was going on because they were kind of outside the door. And, you know, so I scooped him up, told him how upset I was with him, it was great parenting. I am so upset with you. And then I took him to the nursery, left him there with his brother, came back up the steps to the balcony, walked in. Charlie had never looked to the right or the left. I left with a child. I left walking on two heels. I left in pretty good shape. I came back and I kind of drug in because my knee was busted and I didn't have a heel. And I sat down and there were several empty seats and I thought, well, I'm not sitting with him. And so I sat down. And at that point, God in his sovereignty, Almighty God, decided this is the moment. Because the woman said at that moment, she stopped singing. And I don't know if she was supposed to or not, but she stopped singing and she said, all my life I played games with God, and then I had to get serious. That's all she said. But it was as if the hand of God had taken my shoulder and said, that's you. You've been in church all your life. You've played the church game. You're a pagan. You live like a pagan. And it's time to quit playing games with God, with me. And I said, okay, God, I give everything I know of me to everything I know of you. And that's all I know. And probably I know more about you because I'd been in GAs and I'd been in, you know, that's a mission organization. I'd done all the Bible stuff. So I know more about you than you may even know about me, which was kind of arrogant. And he said, okay, I'll take you. He said, I'll take that. If you're going to give me all of you, then I want it. And so that night, my life changed. Everything began to change about my life. I gave my life to Christ, obviously. And I had done it before. I'd been to camps. I had thrown the wood in the fire. I had gone forward. I had done all the things, the outward things. But that night, it took. And things began to change. You know, the Lord of glory cannot move into your life and things don't change. And so that night, as we were going home, I thought, I'm going to have to stop lying. Because I could lie very easily because Charlie had this thing about money. He didn't like to spend it. And I had a thing about money. I did. And so I would tell him if I bought something for $50, I would tell him I bought it for $15. And that was lying. And I know he always wondered if he could trust me for that reason. And so, but that night it changed because I could not lie anymore. And I thought, what has happened to me? And it was just a change. And then the Word of God became very interesting. And it had always been very boring. But it jumped off the page and I thought, I love that. That is so interesting. And so I knew something had happened. And that was the night I truly was saved. Well, sometimes it doesn't take a long sermon. It can be a song. It can be, I got one phrase. All my life I played games with God, and then I have to get serious. And that changed my life. And maybe all of your life you've played games with God. You've played the church game. I played the church game. I played the church game. I played it well. I got all the honors in the Bible study things. I played it well. But it didn't take. I was a good church kid. I was in church. I found out that church didn't have anything to do with that relationship with Christ. And it's just, and being a good kid, I was a good kid, but I was a bad kid on Saturday nights. But as far as anybody knew, I was a good kid. And so I was playing the double game. And you know if you're playing a double game. I knew I was playing a double game. I knew that I knew that I knew. So when I began to change, I knew the Lord of glory had moved in. Because when I messed up, it was as if something within me was crying. And I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. So sometimes it's just a phrase that can change who you are. So that's kind of what I want to leave you with, that pay attention to those statements that just keep coming back to you, keep coming back to you, keep coming back to you. Because at some point, there's something that I believe the Holy Spirit, he speaks to me in phrases, that there would just be just a phrase, and he'll say, this is for you. This is for you. This is important for you. And it will change your life. It's one event in a lifetime of events. We must go on. What might have been does not exist. So don't even go there. Don't tell everything you know. It could come back to haunt you. The days are short. The years are long. But it's still only 240 months in 20 years. That's all there is. And the other thing I would say to you is keep it simple. Life is too complicated. Keep it simple. Last week at my house, I did something called the Swedish Death Clean. Doesn't that sound exciting? The Swedish Death Clean. I've been giving stuff away and I've moved from a house to an apartment, but I still have to keep cleaning things up, getting rid of things. Why? Because I believe we're supposed to clean up after ourselves before we leave. And I don't know when I'm leaving. I'm 80 years old. I could leave anytime. And so I want to keep things cleaned out so my kids don't have to deal with it. So you young people, appreciate somebody like me. I don't want them to have to deal with it. And so the thing that we have to remember is that life is short. The end comes quickly, and we need to be prepared. But it's not just the Swedish death clean. That's kind of ugh. What's important is you're going to meet Jesus. And have you played games? And have you led the double life? Have you gotten serious? I mean, really serious. Because he'll take it from there. And you'll be amazed at what he'll do.
You just heard from author and speaker Jan Sylvius, and you should take a look at Jan's books on Amazon, like Foolproofing Your Life, Courage for the Unknown Season, and even more great titles. If you're an East Tennessee native who watches Saturday morning TV, we're happy to let you know that Coryton Church and Dr. Rocky Ramsey have a Saturday morning TV program on our local CBS stations. The hour-long program airs at 9 a.m. every Saturday on MyVLT. So join us this Saturday and look up MyVLT on your TV guides.